Good morning, Thrive Tribe. We are so excited to have you join our podcast this morning. Man, you just being here means so much to us. As a matter of fact, we'd also count it just a great privilege if you'd take time to review and rate our podcast. It'll just help us reach more people for Christ, and that is our goal. We also want to give you an opportunity to give. If you'd like to do that and support the ministry, you can go to thrivechurchonline.com. Just go to the Giving tab. But without further ado, let's jump right into the message. So last week, we kicked off a series called Who's That Girl? We're going to wrap it. It's just a two-week series. It was never meant to be an eternal series, like some that I've done in the past that never seemed to end. But we've done a series, and we based the whole series off of Proverbs 31. And if you're not familiar with that, especially verse, our focus was verse 10 through the end, through 31. And Solomon was the smartest guy who ever lived. Scripture tells us that. And the last thing he chooses to write about in the book of Proverbs is, did I say Psalms 31? Proverbs. I said Proverbs. Good, because I'm just confusing people now. The smartest guy on earth, the last thing that he talks about is a woman. And I love the way he starts it off. He said, a virtuous wife who can find. Man, men have been asking that question for thousands of years. Because a bad woman will lead you to a bad place. Ask Samson. Ask his daddy. You know, Solomon grew up in the shadow of his father, David, right? David was just a man-ho. I mean, that's what he was. I mean, David's demise was always women. And I know men who have 99% of their life together, but when it comes to women, they'll train wreck their life every time. And so David asked the question. He said, man, when you find her, you better treat her good because she's more valuable than treasure, man. You need to lay up all kinds of stuff for this woman. And then Solomon begins to speak to what makes a virtuous woman, what makes a Proverbs 31 woman. And we dug into that. One of the references that Pastor Tracy made, and I promise I'm going to let her talk in a minute. My job is to do the recap, she said, I like the movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And remember when the girl wants to go to college and the dad's all against it? And she said, well, dad says no, and he's the head of the house. And she's like, your father is the head, but I am the neck that can turn the head any way I want it. And I'm like, that's true, but super manipulative, right? Because then you kind of get into that Jezebel thing a little bit. Right. And Pastor Tracy, when we were talking about it, we were laughing over that around our kitchen table. And Tracy said, well, I believe she was wrong in saying that women are the neck, because I think that's out of biblical order. She said, but I do believe that women are the heartbeat of the household. And my son, who's 22, walked by and said, that's for doggone sure. And I looked at him and I'm like, what, you know? And he said, you know, when mom's not here, the rhythm of our house is different with just two guys in the house. It's totally different. But when my wife comes in, the rhythm of our home changes. And so I think that speaks to that heartbeat. It's not that being a head is more valuable than the heart. Because you can have a head all you want to, but if you don't have any blood flowing to it, you're still going to die. Mm-hmm. And you can have a heartbeat with no head, and it's equally as dangerous. So the two beating and operating together create a body and a rhythm that households are made out of and relationships are made out of. So we're going to jump into this week's, because here's our prayer in all of this, is that we feel like women are just, golly, women are just being ripped apart. Really, a lot of times from the inside out. Like, I know the devil has a hand in it, but a lot of it, there's a bunch of external forces that I think the enemy uses, and it puts such pressure on women that I honestly don't know how we have so many healthily functioning women as we do. But our prayer today is that by the end of the service that God really, really lets you see some things through a different light so that you can function and fulfill your purpose, your call, and your destiny. So that's my recap.
Yeah, thanks.
That's it.
Thanks.
All I got.
So last week we talked about Proverbs 31 woman, and, you know, we know that that was a biblical time. So a lot of those things we can relate to now, but a lot of those things, it's a little bit, you know, things have changed since then, right? We all know that. So this Proverbs 31 model went through, you know, even when American settlers came over and during the frontier days and things like that, women were mainly in the home and around the land. But this little thing called World War II happened in the early 1900s. Not so little, really. It was a big deal. And all the men left and went to war. And so the women are left to carry on the land the animals, the homes, the family, and then the factories were not operating because the men were gone. So we had to go to work. We had to go to work, and we had to work in the home and in the land and in the factories and keep finances going and keep America's businesses going. Actually, the economy depended on women. So along comes this girl who's an American icon. I'm going to see if you recognize her. Anybody know her? Rosie the Riveter. So Rosie changed our lives. She was portrayed as the woman who could do anything. There was even a song you might remember in a play. There was a song that says, "I can do anything better than you." No, I can't. Yes, you can. No, I can't. Yeah. Or yes, I can. No, you can't. So that came along about the time Rosie Riveter became an icon in America for women. She raised the bar for women. She came on the scene and created a new era and a new way of expectations for women. Now we have dual roles. We're not only expected to take care of the homes. This thing kind of never ended. When the men came back home, you know, women realized they could do a lot of things that men could do, and the finances were easier because there were two incomes in the household, and sometimes that was even a necessary thing. The difference is, in the home, when the woman was just in the home, she can control what's going on. When you're in the home, you know, it's hard work, don't get me wrong, I understand that. It's very hard work to take care of all the things that come along with your home and your land and your families, but you're sort of in your own bubble. You can control the things that happen inside your bubble. When we went into the work world, when women went into the work world, suddenly we were under a microscope. The public eye was on women. You know, what are they doing? What do they look like? That kind of thing. We became actually subject to the public opinion and influence.
And can I just say this? Men did not buy into the same lie that women bought into. We did not create a song, "Anything you can do, we can do just as good," because we're not that foolish. I've had 5 kidney stones in my life. I'm not trying to have a baby. I don't sign up to take care of the house. Can I be honest with you? When I work vocationally in ministry. I don't sweat all day in the sun. I don't dig ditches. I don't put on roofs. It's not what I do. It's not what I'm called to. But after dealing with people's stuff all day, I come home, and I'm probably like a lot of guys. Now, I'm not saying I'm lazy, but I come home, and I've got a little recliner time built into my paradigm. Honey, I'm so tired. I've been working so hard all day. Whoo! What's for dinner? Now, my wife works a full-time job that's equally different, but equally as hard as mine. And I don't see her going, "I don't know. Whoop, what are you making?"
There's a thought. There's a,
Lord, forgive me for planting that seed.
Hey, it takes rain to grow.
But that's right. But you get my point. There is this thing where this, and Pastor Tracy is about to speak to it in a minute, but there's a lie that women have bought that somehow men are still escaping in some levels. And I think some of it has to do with we realize, can I just say this? I could not work a full-time job, raise children, and keep the house together all by myself. You would not want to come to my house. Where's the kitchen? Just go down that little path. So for women that are here today, I think part of the heartbeat is this, is that you're going to have, we're not saying that women are not capable, but just because you're capable of doing something doesn't mean you need to do it. And before you draw any conclusions that we're not trying to make, we're not trying to say that women should not work.
Right.
Outside the home, that's not what I'm saying. I'm also equally not saying that women should work outside the home. I don't think one is more or less biblical than the other. I think that for some families, it is necessary to have two incomes.
Right.
Can some women please amen me? Because the only people that are amen to me are men. Thank you. I'm by myself. Does that make sense? I feel like I'm speaking into something that I shouldn't. But as I leaned into this conversation, I really looked at my wife probably for the first time in a long time in a way of going, how are you doing everything that you're doing? Because I can't. If I don't have some built-in downtime, I implode. And if I wonder that if in some women's lives, some of the implosion that you're fighting against is because there are roles that you could lay down. But equal to that laying down, men, there are roles that we have to reassign ourselves to. Because here's the argument that goes on in a wife's head. I'm gonna give you the first part. You give me the second half. If I don't do it, nobody else will. It won't get done. Fill in the blank. That's reflective of us as men in the home. Not one woman amen me. Not one doggone woman, y'all left me by myself. But is that true? Okay.
It's true. So I don't know if you guys have ever played the game. Sometimes we do this when we do like marriage retreats and things like that. It's called Two Lies and a Truth. Have you ever heard that game where you tell three things about you, two of them are not true, one's true? Well, today we're going to talk about this is actually two lies and a truth. This is two deceptions, but they're both balanced out by one truth.
Right.
So deception number one is, who are they? Okay, you hear they all the time, right? Everything around us, TV, social media, the news, billboards going down the street, everywhere you go, women are expected to look a certain way. They're expected to act a certain way. And there's these hypothetical people that are supposedly professionals or whatever that say, you know, this is what you should look like. This is how you should act. This is how you should talk. But honestly, they're really irrelevant. It's a deception. So psychiatrists have shown, and science has proven, that a child develops his personality or its personality, 80% of its personality, by the time it's 10 years old. So that means childhood events and things like that happen to you, they'll become part of who you are, even as an adult. And we still fight a lot of those demons every day.
Well, and I think that women shadow box a ton.
Right, yeah.
They fight so much stuff that's not really there. Well, you know, everybody says that you're supposed to fill in the blank. Or I love this one. Well, that's out of style now. And I'm like, who said?
They say.
Everybody. Well, yeah, but if you went to Germany during World War II, everybody pretty much was for the Nazis. It didn't make it right. Well, all they sell is, okay. When are women going to let themselves off the hook for what everybody else thinks? No, for real. Like, when are you going to release yourself from the prison of opinion? Especially from opinions of people that do not matter. Some of you all are dying in the courts of public opinion by people who never had the right to judge you in the first place. Mm-hmm. If you'll take a stand against that, you'll find freedom. Man, every time I go on social media, well, here's just a thought. Stop going on social media. I felt good about my life till I saw your post. Yeah, but all you saw was a clip. We're talking about the real. We're talking about the whole movie. Have you ever watched the trailer to a movie and you thought, we did this the other night. We watched this Christian Warriors for Christ. This movie sold itself as being this great, like, faith movie. But their youth group that changed this guy's life was called Warriors for Christ. And I'm okay with that. Like, it's the cheesiest name that I've heard, like, since 1975. But they didn't say it one time in the movie. After every sentence, they said, you know, the Lord just changed my life through this group, Christian Warriors for Christ. I'm so different because of Warriors for Christ. And finally, I was like, I don't know what church that is, but I don't ever want to attend. That's not what I want to be. But the trailer for this movie was so good, it hooked us in. We watched 3/4 of the movie. Finally, it went off, and I looked at my wife, and I went, well, that was 2.5 hours of our life that will never come back. I don't feel like my faith was inspired. I don't feel the only thing I took away from the movie was that line was way overused. And I wonder how many of you guys will come to the end of your life, and because you bought into the court of public opinion, the end of your movie won't have played out like the trailer really told you it should have. Because some people are good at showing you the snapshots of their life. They're just not good at living the movie. What we want to do today is we want to teach you how to be good at the movie. And the only way you're going to be good at creating the life that God really intended for you to create is to free yourself from the opinion that everybody else has about you. Some of you, that means you may have to look at your mom or your mother-in-law and free yourself from the court of their opinion. Some of you may have to free yourself from your friends. Some of you have to free yourself from some form of media, whether it be social media, mainstream media, whatever it is. I mean, because if you listen, man, there's so many people telling you what you should do. It's kind of like this, and I looked at the feminist movement. I took an honest, objective look at it, right? And here's my problem with it, one of many. Any group that tells you that the only way that you can really be a woman is to believe, think, and act this way is not giving you freedom, it's giving you slavery. The only person that has the right to tell me how I should live, to give me a moral compass and a behavioral compass, is the God who created me. And anything, and I don't care whether it's a political group, a social group, anybody that tries to step outside of that is not bringing you freedom, they're bringing you slavery. And I wonder how many women today need to be emancipated from the court of public opinion.
Right. So, the second deception is, you know, public opinion may lead us to say, who do you think you are? You know, what does that do inside of you? How do you become a person that, how do you think of yourself inside as a person? So these events and stories and things that happen to us from our childhood, as far back as we can remember, you know, they give us insecurities and they give us this feeling of like we're carrying this badge of status called not good enough, right? Yeah. Some examples might be, you know, did you go through a divorce? I did. I went through a divorced family as a child. And those things not only affect the mother and the father, the husband and the wife, but the child actually goes through that divorce. Yeah. I mean, they mentally and physically suffer through that. That's a big deal in a child's life. And it could have been maybe you were relentlessly teased as a child by a sibling or a cousin, a family member, a schoolmate, something like that. Those things hurt. They stay with you. Maybe you were abused. If you were like verbally abused or physically abused, those kind of things, they stick inside you and they stay with you. And the list goes on and on. The problem is they leave scars. Those cuts are very deep and they leave scars. The enemy's going to use those things against us because every time you look at a scar, you're going to remember it, right? You're going to bring back all those thoughts, all those things, all those hurtful things. Even though you're not bleeding anymore, that scar is always there to remind you. So the reason he does that, he gets in our head because the battlefield is in the mind, right? We all know that. And he will, you know, take this tactic. I mean, what better way to attack you if he can't attack you physically? But he can come into your mind and chip away at your self-esteem and your confidence to get us off track, saying things like, well, you're not thin enough, you know, she's prettier, you're not pretty enough, you're not smart enough, you could never do that. Well, let me go ahead and let you know, you're not perfect, right? We're not perfect, and we're never going to be perfect. You won't, I won't, but you are enough. God made you enough.
And that's the thing. I love watching a woman who doesn't fit the status quo, whether it be height, weight, hair, vernacular. I love watching people that don't fit the perfect model. I love it. I love watching them come in with their shoulders back into a room and own it. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, slap, smoke it. Or a woman who has been through a bunch of challenges or trials in her life, walk in with her shoulders back and her head up and just absolutely smoke a room. Because here's what I think. I think that the enemy in the garden went to the woman first. I've heard people speak all kinds of stupid things around that. Could there be some hidden something in it? Yeah, I just believe in the golden rule of Bible interpretation. Means this, that whenever possible, interpret the Bible literally the way it's written. Don't try to make it all hocus pocus. Because if God wanted you to know something, He's not gonna hide it. Are there some things in Revelation that are written uniquely? Yeah, but the whole Bible is not that way, right? Like Revelation is a book unto itself. It's the only book of the Bible where the Bible says, "Hey, if you read this book, there's a blessing just for reading it." He didn't say nothing about understanding it.
Right.
Because right. I've read parts of it, and I've been like, thank you for the blessing. I'll ponder that, right? But here's the thing. Women buy so much into these lies, and when the enemy came to Eve in the garden, the first person that he began to tempt, he looked at her and said, is that really what God said? And I think that's the lie that really plays in women's head that I've seen over and over and over again is, are you really enough?
Yeah.
Does your husband really love you? Are you really a good mom? Are you really working the way you're supposed to? Are you really a good boss? Are you really a good employee? And then that stuff starts to play. And play. And play. And can I say this? I don't think we always mean to bite the apple. Like sometimes I don't mean to buy into the lie. But the next thing I know, I got a mouthful of apple and I'm chewing the lie up. And then I'm swallowing it. Now it's a part of me. And now I'm in condemnation. And not only am I running from God, but I'm running from my calling because I bought the lie that I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not. So I can never live up to my calling because I spend my whole life running and regretting and ashamed and trying to cover stuff up. I'm all for makeup. Y'all know that. But makeup is sold. Totally sold on this principle. Your skin and face aren't good enough without it.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a lie. Now, listen, if you're a woman that wears makeup, thank God for it. I don't have a problem with it. Can I be honest with you? I mowed the yard this week right before this wedding happened. Got the world's biggest zit. It was like, you know, it like talked by itself. It was horrible. And I was sitting there like, man, it went away, so don't look for it. But... It's probably a new one. In that moment, I wish that I had some cover up. Why? Because makeup is there for you to cover up things that you don't want people to see. So what you're really saying is, I don't want people to see the real me. Now, again, if you're a woman that wears makeup, my wife wears makeup. I don't have any problem with makeup. I think makeup's a great gift. As long as it stops with just trying to look a little better, trying to be your best self. I don't have a problem with it. But when your whole life is spent using cover-up, to dye your hair is one thing so that people don't see that you maybe have a couple of miles on you. Now listen, I got them coming in like, I've been cutting them out of my beard like I'm mowing the yard. I don't have any room to talk. But I never will forget the first gray beard that I had. I ran in to the mirror and I'm like, oh my gosh. And Tracy comes in and she goes, oh, salt and pepper's great on a man. Yeah. And I'm like,
it is.
Okay,
it
is. Stop. Okay, what? This is not about me and my insecurities, right? But here's the thing. But watch it. But watch the double standard that's been told. If your wife finds her first gray hair and you walk in and go, oh, don't worry about it. Salt and pepper's great on a woman. She is probably going to stab you. Because women are taught all their life to cover up their deficiencies. They're never taught to embrace their diversity. So much in our culture right now is talked about diversity. I think, and some of it's true, fair enough. There's some things that we've got to address. There's some things we've got to look at. But, the real problem, if we can't start with the people that are living in our own house, we can never fix the world. Until we teach the people, you know, ladies and young ladies that are in our lives, look, there are things that are going to come into your life that are going to make you different. Don't run from that. Embrace it. Be enough because God created you to be enough.
Right, right. So let yourself off the hook. Forget they. It's a deception. Sometimes what I think can be a deception.
Yeah.
But the one truth, this truth is what God, what does God say about you? Because that's the truth that just busts open all the other things that are lies. I'm going to read from Psalms 139, 13 through 16. for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them. In the days that were formed for me, as yet there was none of them. As when yet there was none of them. So before you even breathed your first breath, you know, God sat down and he took every single piece of your DNA and he put it together a specific way.
Right.
He made you the way you are. He knew you were going to be that way. He wrote your job description before he ever made you. He made you tailored to that specific thing that he designed for you. He was so excited about you. He made a specific purpose, making everything about you, from your looks to your personality to your weirdisms and all the things that we have, as part of your purpose. It's part of who you are. He created you and said, this is a good thing. I'm creating a great thing. And he put that destiny on your life. And he knew all the things you would go through and all the things you would experience. But he made you that exact person, knowing that he created you for that. And we will make mistakes. We'll make mistakes on our journey. But God did not make a mistake when he made you. And he is not surprised by you or your mistakes. Sometimes fear can get a hold of us and stun us from even moving. I know that's the thing that I have to deal with in my life sometimes, is it seems to paralyze me and I have to push forward and just do it afraid. Go push through. Fear is going to come, but you don't have to stay in fear. It does not have to live with you. You can push through that so that you can do what God destined for you to do. He gave you the tools and the courage even to do it. So you have to just find it. And it's there. It's inside you. You just have to dig down and find that.
And I think here's the thing. I think that a lot of women feel like they weren't created with a purpose. I laugh every day. There are so many things in our life that have purpose that we don't pay any attention to. Like somewhere somebody created a fork. The weirdest thing anybody could ever invent. Like, go home and just lay a fork on your table and imagine the process that it went through to go, you know what I want? I want like four prongs on the end of a stick. And I want to shove those, like, it's random. Or the Phillips head screwdriver or the flat head screwdriver. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pound out a piece of metal and I'm going to put some curves in it. And then I'm going to take this other piece of metal that sticks into it and twists. And then that'll hold some, like, if, but those things were created on purpose. They were created with purpose. And I think that one of the lies that women think is because they're unique, they're not like every other thing in the drawer, that they're void of purpose. And it could be that the very thing that you're trying to cover up is the very thing that God's trying to use. So maybe, just maybe, if you freed yourself from they and for some of those lies of deception that are in your life, that maybe you could begin to see your uniqueness as something that God created. I love that part in the passage where he says, but you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I think every morning, every woman should get up and look in the mirror and say, I'm wonderfully made. Before you put on makeup, before you fix your hair, because you are wonderfully made. I tell my wife, times to look at her is when she's laying in bed before she wakes up and her hair's kind of not fixed and all of her makeup's off and she's just there. She doesn't even know I'm looking at her. She'll wake up and she's like, okay, that's creepy. What are you doing? And I'm like, because it's weird, right? And we've been married long enough. It's not like cute anymore. It's just like, okay, what are you doing? And I'm like, you know what? Sometimes I just like looking at you just resting because you're at peace. And you know, I just think about what, you know, so I just sit there and I think for women that if you'll begin to see that you're wonderfully made, like really believe that, not just hear it, but put it in your heart somewhere, it may free you from some of the lies that you bought into.
Right. So can I get my volunteer come up, please?
Everybody give Wendy a round of applause.
Aww.
She is so excited to do this.
I'm not going to make Wendy talk, but I did pick Wendy for a specific reason, because Wendy plays a lot of roles, y'all.
Yeah, tons.
She's quiet and everything, kind of like me, but if you look around, Wendy's either in the hospitality, she's in the nursery. Come on, Wendy. We'll try to do this without my notes by heart. So, we talked last week about the women of a family, like, they wear a lot of hats. Well, instead of hats today, I just thought about bags. I thought, you know, that sometimes it feels like baggage, you know. It feels like baggage and it's heavy. And I thought that would be a good way to kind of give an example. So when we talk about the woman being the heart of the family, we talked about that last week. Well, you know, just like your physical heart, you have to take care of your heart. If you do too much to your heart, if you put too much strain and stress on your heart, there's going to be consequences to that. So I'm going to start out, and we're going to go first with the wife bag. So all of you who are married, you know, our husbands, sometimes they're awesome, but sometimes they are a little bit needy, right? I don't want to get in trouble for saying that, but you know, but we as women, we want to take care of our men. You know, we want to make sure that they have the things that they need, and I want to make sure that I take care of my man. So a lot of times, that's a pretty hefty bag as far as carrying that around every day. So we pick these up, show it on your shoulder there. We pick these up and we put it on every morning, right? Some of us are parents. Some of our women are moms. Where's the strap? So.
Notice how big that bag is. Just file that away for reference.
Well, I started to do two mom bags, but I ran out of room. But, like, you know, some mom bags, like, I have one child, and he's grown, so my mom bag's a lot smaller right now. But, you know, I know a lot of you have many children. You have multiple children, and sometimes you have your children and their children and our children and everybody's children. You know, you have people to take care of, and you have, I know a lot of times I had friends come over who pretty much lived with me because, you know, my parents were like, well, they're part of the family. Just bring them on. So they took care of other people's kids, too. And that is a big deal. So that's a pretty hefty bag as well. Find your strap here. Throw that on this shoulder. Wendy. So let's see. The work bag. So this could be work outside of the home bag. This could be around the house work bag. This could be work from home bag. This could be any kind of work that you have. This could be anything that you do and you're challenged to do every day, your tasks and your things that you do. But a lot of times this bag's kind of heavy because it's got a lot of heavy stuff in it. So see where you can throw that bag on you. Okay. Let's see. And y'all, Wendy's a lot of these bags. I think she fits the bill because, you know, she's a good volunteer for this because she does a lot of these things. So how about, are you a friend or a sister? I put those together because when we're grown, our sisters become our friends, hopefully. And, you know, they lean on us. Our friends lean on us. Our family leans on us. So let's see. Can you get that one around you? If you have to put it on your neck or something. So our friends depend on us, our family. Here's a good one. This is a daughter. As you get older, you know, you have parents that have needs, and sometimes you become a caregiver. You turn almost into like a parent for your parents. And so being a grown daughter has a lot of challenges that come along as you get older. Is it getting a little heavy?
She just falls over. I'm going to laugh. Boom.
So I'm going to put ministry as a bag, too. And I know Wendy works with us a lot. She helps us a lot in the ministry. Yeah. I'm a pastor and a wife and a mom, and I work and those kind of things. So whether you're volunteering or whether you do community service or anything that you do out, you know, to help other people is a ministry inside and outside the church. So that is another bag that we carry. You're loaded down. I got one more bag. This bag, I made this bag because moms are teachers, but we took on a different role of teaching about 2020 in March.
Yeah.
A lot of us that weren't really teachers became teachers, and we were forced into a new role of teaching. But, you know, moms always teach their kids. A good mom will teach their children. And so that's a burden. That's something that we get up every day, and we go, you know, Lord, help me to teach my child the ways of you, the right ways, the ways to be, to make them a godly adult as they grow. So here's another bag for you. Is that heavy? I just put some stuff in these bags because I don't want to, like, kill Wendy up here on stage. But, you know, these bags, you know, you can stand here for a few minutes with these bags. And they might be heavy for a minute, but if you pick these bags up one by one every single morning when you wake up before you get out of bed. And that's what we do a lot of times. We pick those bags up and we carry them around 12 hours a day. you know, sometimes more than that, because we sleep 6, 7, maybe hours a day. And we don't get to stop. We don't get to lay those bags down. But there are some other bags.
Let me, I got them right here.
Got them out. Let me have the other two. So in addition to those bags, how many times do we pick up this bag? Guilt and shame. That's a bag we really don't have to carry, but we pick it up anyway. What about this bag? Self-defeat. Sometimes we put things on ourselves that we really don't deserve. And then this one, this is another one. This one comes along and just jumps on you. Fear. Because I'm carrying all these bags and, you know, what if I fail? You know, what if these things just collapse and I can't do it anymore? It's all those things that this is the heart. So Wendy here is the example of the heart of the family. So if you think about your physical heart, and you've got all these things, these stressful things hanging on your heart, you've got blockages that could come in your way. You could get angry because you're stressed out, and that turns to a heart attack. You could turn on your family and not even mean to. You could turn on people that need you, all these things that call out and cry out to us that we need. And we just could have a heart attack. The other thing ultimately could be a heart failure. You know, sometimes it doesn't turn into an outright lashing out. It just turns into, I can't do this anymore. I give up.
And what happens when this happens? What happens when you get so tired that you decide you have to lay something down? So rather than figuring out a healthy way to do it, you lay your marriage down.
Right.
Or you put down the bag of raising your children. I'm not talking about like you leave them at Walmart and don't come back and get them, but you just, you give up on the bag. You ever walk by that mom and you're just like, you're checked out. I wonder how many times that comes, not because they're bad parents, but just because they're tired.
And some of these bags, like, maybe you shouldn't be carrying this bag. Maybe this is a bag you can lay down. You know, you can't lay down being a mom, or you shouldn't, or being a, you know, a good wife, or, you know, sometimes you can take a break from work, but you can't always walk away from it. But some of these things that we pick up don't belong to us. We pick up problems. We pick up other people's problems sometimes, and then we pick up our own, you know, hypothetical problems that probably aren't even there, but in your mind they're real. So some of those things, we have to just set those bags down.
And I think she hit on something really key. I think women fight a lot of things that could come to pass. Like, they're not there. But they could. What if the baby's sick? What if he's not? What? How many times, if you're a man here, has your wife ever said this? I'm such a bad wife. If you're a woman and you've said that, will you just... It's so funny because I sit there and I'm like, when did I ever tell you you were bad? I just said I didn't like broccoli. That's I didn't say you were horrible for making it. I acknowledge that I probably need something green in my diet that's not in form. So I just wonder that if we're women, if I'm a woman, I sit there and go, okay, so I laid the guilt and shame down, but how do I manage the bags? And my thing is this. I think that as you carry one thing well, you get used to it. Mm-hmm. Anybody, maybe you're better at unloading groceries than us. We pretty much work on the Sherpa of groceries. I have no idea what this mic is doing. The Sherpa principle of groceries, and that is this. When you go to the back of the car, we load in plastic. And we load in plastic on purpose because you can put your hand through like 19 loops and you pick them up and you just...
And hope one doesn't pop open in the box.
And you hope nobody closed the door.
Yeah.
Because nothing will make you say things that make Jesus cry faster than somebody shutting the door and you're having to kick it with your foot and you're hoping like the glass jar doesn't fall through and bust and you're right. And so it's, but what happens is I've noticed that if I stand there long enough, I kind of get used to it and I got everything bounced. You ever had somebody come up and try to take one of your bags? And you're like, no, don't touch. Like you've got this carotid artery is sticking out in your neck. And you're like, no, don't touch it. Don't touch it. I got it. You touch one thing, everything's going to fall to the floor. But then what happens is you go inside and you get to the counter, you get to a table and you set everything down, and then you make this statement, okay, now you can take it. So I wonder what happens is this. What happens if as women, you don't try to put the bag down when you're under stress, but you get help managing the load before it becomes a problem? Because every man has experienced the dreaded meltdown. You come in, she's crying in the middle of the floor or in the bed, and you don't know what you did, and she can't explain it to you. Can I get a witness from a woman that knows what I'm doing? Like, I don't even know why I'm crying like this. I just hate everybody.
I need a moment.
And now I feel bad for hating y'all because I'm supposed to love you. Men, we do what we can do. We go get the vacuum cleaner. We start vacuuming stuff. The kids are cleaning their rooms because they think mom might leave. They're not real sure, right? They're cleaning their rooms. Like you, we'll take the trash out. Mom, we'll make dinner. How do you feel about SpaghettiOs? You know, whatever. And here's my question is, what happens if we really take it? Because Pastor Tracy started making all these bags, I looked and I'm like, yeah, but what do you put down? I never saw what you could put down. Like, please don't put the wife bag down. Don't put the kid bag. I really hope you don't stop working because this place is going to fall apart. Then the answer came to me. Now I will create a help mate. But if she's my help mate, shouldn't that go both ways?
Yeah.
Shouldn't maybe, just maybe? Because see, here's what I think. I think some men see a woman come in carrying all those bags. Can I just call them groceries for right now? Carrying all their stuff. And as long as she's not falling over, we think she's fine. And we stay in the recliner. But when I realize what she has, and I realize it generally during the meltdown moment, I'm like, oh, well, I guess I kind of messed that one up. I'm sorry. Get away. I mean, not that she would do that, but.
Well. There have been days.
So what I think the balance that we're trying to find in our marriage is ahead of time. I want to hear where your frustrations are before they become implosions. I want to look for opportunities where I can speak to the weakness of your life. Hey, look, I feel like you're falling into some self-condemnation here, and I love you, but let me tell you all the things you're really, really good at. Our kid didn't die growing up.
And let me say this, too. Like, ladies, don't be afraid to ask.
Yeah.
You know, like, some people aren't afraid to ask, but, like, sometimes you're like, I got this. I don't got this. I mean, All of a sudden, like, this meltdown moment, you're just like, I thought I had it, but now here I am, and I don't have it. So before you get to that, like, you know, let people help you. You know, let your kids help. Yeah, husband help.
I think one of the things that we fall into misunderstanding about is thinking that our wives are there to take care of us. They are not. Women are afraid to nod their head for the first time in recorded sanctuary history. You're not my mom. You're my helper. Now notice that the word that if you say helper, it means I'm doing a lion's share of the work. Men, sometimes it just means we have to do more. I don't want to do more. Okay, grow up. When you were a child, you thought like a child. You spoke like a child. You said stupid. I'm sorry, I added that in. But when I became adult, I put some of those things away. The inside of every man is a boy. And every inside of every woman is a girl. Can I ask a question? Do I have any women in here over 45? Please don't raise your hand. I just thought about that. Don't do that. From the inside out, you don't feel over 45. You don't even feel qualified to do what you've done this far. Here's the amazing thing. When the children of Israel got ready to take the promised land the first time, the end of that verse said this, but they were like grasshoppers in their own sight. I think that there are some conquering heroes inside of our women, but they can't keep seeing themselves as the ugly duckling, the unqualified, the not worthy. That if you'll see yourself as the gift of God that Solomon, the smartest guy on the face of the planet, said you were, that if you'll see yourself as this wonderfully made being that God created with a purpose and a destiny, everybody makes fun of the sport till you need one. Is it a spoon? Is it a fork? I don't know. Because if you'll walk in your calling, if you'll walk in your anointing, when the time is right, it'll shine. David killed Goliath, but before then, he was just a dude in a field. Matter of fact, he was the son that was so amazing, his dad didn't even want him in the lineup to be chosen for king. That one ain't gonna make it. That was they talking. Man, you have such a call and such a destiny on your life. There's some bags you can't put down and they're heavy, but you're made for that.
Right, we're powerful.
You women are strong. Let me tell you something. I watched my wife give birth. Let me tell you something. You do whatever else you want to, girl. I watched my wife work a full-time job and raise a kid well. I don't have anything for that. Now, what I've had to learn how to do over 25 years of marriage is listen. I've had to learn how to ask this question: what do you need from me? Not in the meltdown moment. The meltdown moment, I've learned to be just to shut up, be quiet, hold her, leave her alone. Leave her alone was the hard one for me to learn because I thought I had to fix it. Well, my time to fix it was before it was broken. Man, you can write that down. That's like free. Fix it before it's broken. Ask leading questions. Now, I now walk in the kitchen. I'm like, hey, what do you need me to do? I'm your sous chef, girl. Come on, what you got? Hey, look, it's time to clean up the house. Okay, I hate this part. What do you want? I love loading the dishwasher. I hate emptying it.
Can we make deals over that?
Yeah, so her mom came over to the house yesterday, and I said, look, I'm going to empty the dishwasher. Can I do everything but the Tupperware? Because when Brandon and I do it, we just open the door, throw it in there, and shut it real fast. Evidently, you're supposed to stack it in, like, particular orders with lids in. My wife's like, thank you for emptying the dishwasher. I'm like, can you just, yes, I can do it. She said, I hate it too, but I'll do it. That's a woman. It's a good woman.
Yeah, so, you know, we're powerful, and because God made the heart strong, he made us strong, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we just have to be sure that we're not taking on something like, we're not responsible for anything that God didn't give us to carry.
Right.
We do have responsibility, some of these things we're carrying, but put down what you don't have to carry, and
right.
Just stay focused on what he created you for, because you have what it takes. You have the tools, and you're enough. You're enough.
One of the hardest things as a pastor that I ever had to learn was this. When I first became a senior pastor, everybody had an opinion of how church should be run. And it dawned on me, all these people who God didn't call to be a pastor suddenly became authorities on what my calling was. I had family members that would go, well, I've been involved in church all my life. Here's how you should do it. I'm like, yeah, but you were never a pastor. You don't know. Don't let people who aren't God tell you how to be what God created you to be. You know the best way to parent your family. You know why? Because God gave those children to you. You got this. Your spouse, your marriage. I counsel people marriage all the time. And I'm like, look, your marriage doesn't have to look like mine. But there's some common threads. But you're going to have to figure out how your marriage works well. Because your husband may be crazy. But he's your kind of crazy. Your wife may be just a little off. But it's probably because you're a little off. I believe this. I believe that every woman here is fearfully and wonderfully made. I believe that you were born and you were fashioned to fulfill your function.
Yeah.
That's your calling. I think that you need to see and talk about yourself the way that God sees and talks about you. Some of you make God mad every time you talk about you, because you talk about you with rebellion against your Creator. Would you ever look at God and tell God that He was wrong? So was God wrong when He created you? Was He wrong when He gave you the shape and the attributes that He gave you? Was He wrong when He sent you your spouse? Was He wrong when He let you conceive children? Was He wrong when He let you gain favorable employment? Where was God wrong? So if God was wrong in none of those things, why do you keep telling Him He is? I think that when we begin to embrace the God who created us for what He created us to be, we begin to live out our purpose and our destiny. We begin to lay those things down that Pastor talked about. So here's my question. And I'm going to do this before we move into salvation, because here's what I feel like. I feel like there's some women that are in here that are on the verge of breaking. You're just tired. You're emotional. Because, man, 2020 didn't help y'all at all. But here's what I wonder. I wonder if there are women in here who go, you know what? I need to be just what God created me to be. And I need to let loose of everybody else's opinion and everybody else's thought process. It's going to be me and God. And I'm going to do what I'm called to do. Because I'm going to be honest with you. There are days I don't want to get up and be a pastor. There are days that I get up, I don't feel like I'm a pastor. But guess what I am? I'll prove it to you. One time, I'm circling women, I promise. We went to the beach one time, and I looked at Tracy and said, I'm doing no ministry on this trip whatsoever. I'm not talking. I ignored people. I would not get on an elevator when other people were in it. Because I'm like, I'm not talking to people. This is about me. This is me time. Mamas know exactly what I'm talking about. So we lay down in the one sec. We're in off season at the beach. We lay down. I took my shirt off because I'm like, this is how unpastoral I am. I'm half naked at the beach. I don't even care. Wadded it up, put it behind my head, found the isolation chairs, and I lay down. There, all this, the rest of the square of this pool is empty. Husband or wife come and they just lay right down beside me in my personal space where I'm listening to Jimmy Buffett. This is my time. I'm laying there, got my eyes closed, I'm listening to my music, and this guy goes, hey man, I did what any good servant of the Lord, I ignored him. I acted like I was asleep. Hey man, who are you down here with? I don't know, genius. The three other people beside me, what? 5 seconds into the conversation, he goes, yeah, my wife's mad at me. Sucks for you. Because this is my vacation. I ain't even got a shirt on. Like, he kept talking. The problem was he was talking to the Holy Spirit. We're talking at the same time. Finally, I got up, I put my shirt on, and I leaned over and I said, well, brother, have you ever thought about, and counseling session was on. And an hour and a half later, Tracy's over there going, oh my gosh, shut up. Just, he's either going to get it or he's not. Stop counseling him. He's not coming. And the dude was there the rest of the week. And we walked through like 9 hours of counseling, just right there poolside. And I worked my entire vacation. I got in the car and I went, well, that was horrible. And I looked at Tracy and I said, man, I even tried to avoid it. I didn't want to help it. Like, judge me however you want to. I did not want to do it. And my wife looked at me in that moment and she said, honey, you can't avoid what you are. You can't run from it. So here's my thing. I wonder how many women are running from what God created them to be. And we're so busy doing all this fluff stuff that we forget to be what we were really called to. So look, I'm going to be a wife, I'm going to throw it on my shoulder, and yeah, it's got a little weight to it, but I can handle it. And I'm going to be this, and I'm going to be this. Here are my four or five tasks, and I'm going to be really, really, really good at them. And if not, I'm going to really, really, really try to be good at them. And when I screw something up, I'm going to laugh at me. Because you ever done something so dumb you had to laugh at you? You're like, I ain't going to believe what I just did. I just told our son he could eat the Twizzlers before bedtime. That was a rookie move. When are you going to give yourself freedom to fail? But more importantly, when are you going to give yourself freedom to succeed? I want to pray over every woman that's here. And here's my prayer. When I begin to pray, if you're here and you say, you know what, I'm going to lay some stuff down. I'm going to do some stuff different. When I pray, I just want you to put your hand up in the air. Just as a sign to God, I just want you to go, God, I'm right here and I'm laying it down. And that'll be your agreement that, you know what, I'm going to be what God called me to be. I'm going to talk about myself as much as I can, how God talks about me. I'm going to lay down the stuff that I don't need to carry anymore. And I'm going to go after the best version and the best calling version of myself that God created me to be. Because I'm wonderful. And if everybody else doesn't see my wonderfulness, it just means they're blind. It doesn't mean it's not there. Can we pray? Father, with hands lifted across this building. Father, for every woman who has a load that seems like it's too great to carry. God, for woman who doesn't know how she's going to go on. God, today I just pray that you give her the strength, Father, to lay down the stuff that she doesn't need. God, to lay down fear and doubt and condemnation. God, to lay down the whispers of the enemy that tells her that she's not enough. God, I ask that you right now give her strength. God, give her boldness. God, to be everything that you call her to be. God, that right now in this moment, in this space, God, that you whisper into her ear that she is enough. She's enough to be an amazing woman, an amazing wife, a business leader, intelligent, capable, a qualified mother. Father, for every man that's in here, God, give us the wisdom to value the treasure that we have. God, tote some of the load, Father, to share some of the burden. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, yes. And just where you're at, if we just keep our heads bowed, maybe you're going through so many struggles. Yes, we surrender. I don't know. Maybe one of the decisions that you haven't made was giving your life to Jesus. And the great thing about it is that everybody in this room, we've all sinned, we've all struggled. If that's you today, if you want to say, hey, I'm tired of struggling, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender everything. Would you just gladly slip your hand up? Thank you. God bless you, brother. Thank you so much. Together, we're just going to pray together like this. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I believe that you died for me and that you rose from the dead. Lord, I ask you to come into my life and to make me right with you. To live eternal life forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. We just believe if you pray that prayer with us, just simple like that, that you are a child. You are a son. You're a blessed daughter of the King. It's so amazing that that's the important decision that you can ever make for your life. Just want to pray everybody real quick. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for this congregation, Lord God, word. That was brought forth by Pastor Adam and Pastor Tracy. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that the word, it penetrates our heart. It gets us thinking that we don't have it all together. We just don't. And the struggles of this life is real. It is so very real. But Lord, we don't have to carry this burden on our own. We don't have to be the best mom. We don't have to be the best dad to try to do it on our own, God. We need you every step of the way. So, Father, I just pray, Lord God, for every man, woman, and child that's in the sound of my voice, that whatever we have going on, that we just give it up to you and surrender it to you and ask Lord Jesus just to help me. Peter did the same thing. When he was sinking, he said, Lord, save me. And you picked him up, Lord. You saved them from drowning. So, Father, we just lift our hands and we say, help us, God. And you're more and willing to help us because you're the God that answers prayer. You're the God that hears us. So, Father, thank you for every person that's here. We love, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for our online crew this morning, for our Thrive Tribe for joining us. It's so a blessing to have you with us this morning. Guys, on next week, it's an awesome thing that's going to be happening. Pastor is going to be in the house. Oh, yeah. Every time I listen to that man minister, oh my word, it just blessed my spirit. I feel like jumping and running around, and it's so amazing. But that man brings forth so much truth. So Thrive Tribe online, if you be online with us next Sunday, for those who are in-house, hopefully you guys can come out and make it. It's going to be a great and wonderful time. Thank you guys so much. We hope you guys have a good Sunday. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you so much for joining us, man. We just appreciate your presence and you taking time to listen to this podcast today. Man, we just pray that it ministers to you. If we can serve you or if you'd like to reach out to us, feel free to do so. You can email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. Again, amen@thrivechurchonline.com. We just want to thank you again for being a part of our church and allowing us to speak into your life. We pray that the Lord blesses you and we can't wait to see you again next time.